Lively and rejoicing. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Beautiful, beautiful day, a beautiful chosen people for me to teach today. Remind you quickly to stay away from kinfolks this time of year. They always start sneaking in, trying to get you to partake of God worship that came straight from Egypt. And, of course, our forefathers that fell for that, they lost the kingdom. The kingdom was taken from them. It's offered to you right now. And, of course, if you take advantage of it, the trials and tests, you'll have glory forever. The scholars, now listen to me closely, all of you scholars that have been wanting to know these who the servant is, spoken of in Isaiah 41, 42. Actually, Isaiah started back in the first chapter to tell you of this, and that's where you're missing out. But there's three works here, and of course, that three different time frames, too, of work that is shown in these prophecies here. And this is why you're not understanding it. Many of the scholars, depending on your background, you want to apply all of this to Yahshua. And, of course, Yahshua, the Savior, is in this prophecy, in all of these prophecies, because he's the high priest over this work for this time period that this is speaking of. And it's all speaking of an end time period, as is shown in chapter 2 and verse 2, in the last days. Yahweh calls it in the last days. The Savior himself said the last generation. This work would be in the last generation. But the Savior is over three different time periods here, three different works, and of course two people are named besides himself in this, and Yahweh gives you their name, so you're really going to have to pay close attention. It's not an easy subject to understand because it takes a few hundred scriptures that you've got to get in your mind, but I am going to make you understand it, Yahweh willing, if you will just don't argue with me while I'm trying to teach, you know. Believe me and write it down and search the scriptures. There's two of these works that involve the Savior in the last days, and two are performed by two brothers. Yes, two brothers. And, of course, two different houses of Yahweh that not only that prophet Isaiah saw, but there's many others that saw it too. Now, I want you to start with, of course, Isaiah 41, so be turning there for these two brothers. I know you thought we were out of that chapter. I think we could preach on this right here. For several months, we're not going to, but Isaiah 41, but we started here last week and showed that verse 2, now this is showing Yahshua himself. Oh, the other thing that I needed to tell you about is next week. You should be on time every week. You should be listening to the young priests. The young priests are improving. They're bringing some great lessons, and praise Yahweh. And but anyway, we have a special film that the man is saying that this is a result of great sickness that is spreading throughout the earth now. And they're not going to back off from it. It's kind of like the mad cow disease that started from feeding dead animals free protein that they were throwing away, burying and burning. Well, they use that free protein. Well, they're using this other stuff as free, and we got a film that will be played before I speak. It's about 22 minutes long, so I understand that I need everyone to see it. But in Isaiah now, 41, in verse 2, we see the Savior, one raised from the dead. And we saw that last week, and I spent quite a bit of effort on it, and then I'm putting it in a letter, two letters. No way you get it into one, but I'm putting it into letters. But a lot is shown right here that we covered in just this one single verse here. You see that this person here who raised up the righteous one, a completely righteous person. Well, we know, you should know, if you're a true scholar, you won't pass Christianity by following this kind of righteousness, but true righteousness is keeping Yahweh's laws. It's a perfect righteousness that all the apostles spoke about, and they were all persecuted because of it. But this man that Yahweh raised from the dead was righteous. He was a righteous one. He never sinned. He raised him from the dead and from the east called him to his feet from the east. So this established what east is according to the prophets and their prophecies. It shows you what east means. And then gave him the nations now, for a reason, that is to direct the nations. We tend to think that Yahweh cast aside everyone that didn't worship him down through the periods of history, and this is simply not true. He allowed everyone to sin. He called certain people out and loaded their mind with his spirit, which guided them to the truth of understanding you can't break Yahweh's laws and have peace or joy or health or anything. The people that's in this world, they're bringing sickness, disease, war, hatred, violence upon themselves. They don't know what to do about it. They're thinking about closing schools, having where they can put them all in one den and put a bunch of police officers in there with them. What those police officers are going to do, I don't know. They have no solutions for their problems. And next, Yahweh shows, article was handed to me on the prices of food. I don't know if you've noticed how they're going up, but they took a really huge leap this last month. The prices of food, which is exactly what is shown that the nations would come to in this time period under what is called the messengers, the four messengers, or what we call the quartet now the English language, in the governmental language, we call them the quartet. And of course, they're called four messengers and other things in the Holy Scripture. We are seeing that the food in the prophecy concerning these men would go from abundance to where it was very, very cheap to famine, starvation. We have over 41 million people in the United States now that are listed in that category, 41 million. And that's a lot of people that's lacking on food right now. We have hundreds of thousands of people that everything is being taken away from them, their houses, their cars, everything. What bothers me is that they never learn. And of course, they can't. They'll never understand unless they come to the house of Yahweh. But the people that have this done to them, I know some. And the problem is they go get tangled up in the world again, and they start trying to accumulate another house, another car, two other cars, maybe three or four, you know, and soon that will all be taken away from them again. But this occurred to my dad. He fell in the same trap, and I got a firsthand view from him of what took place in the Depression days. And of course, the land went to the government, or the government loans that was given to the banks, and the same thing is taking place here in America now under the ways of the kings of the East. And of course, the depression, the oppression that they put you under. This was the same thing they learned in Egypt. They learned this from the Egyptian government firsthand and lived through it. Yahweh brought them out of it, and then they wanted to go back into it again because, as Satan said, this way looks desirable. Looks desirable to try to own the world. Well, in Revelations, we see exactly what's taking place, what Yahweh said would take place, is taking place now. And the food is on the rise, and only the rich will be able to afford it very soon, and they'll give out what they want to the poor. And then we see two others here in Isaiah 41. Look at verse 8. Isaiah 41, verse 8. If you remember Isaiah 41, verse 25, we saw my brother, Jacob, last week, and how he, maybe we better read that again, just to refresh your mind here. I have stirred up, not raised up from the dead, but I've stirred up this one from the north. Now, it says we put protected place there, but that word is north. The King James was right in that incident, and so were several others that argue the point. But from the north place, and he will come from the direction of the rising of the sun, which is east, which he did, gathering those who call on my name, and that's what he did, gathering those who call on my name, the name Yahweh. He will tread on rulers. I have a special section to go into that will show you what all these words mean. It's like the scholars want to apply this Hebrew wording here altogether, get different from what it means, and they want to apply this to Cyrus. They use Cyrus as a crutch to apply everything they don't understand to King Cyrus, who came a couple of hundred years later after this prophecy, but he didn't fulfill any of it. And I'll show you how to prove that from your own scriptures here very soon. But he will tread on rulers. He will teach. He'll teach and guide, actually. And the word there is not rulers. It's actually princes, but it's of the lesser rank, like a prince of a family, a household. Something like this, a preacher of a church, the ruler of a church, or something like that. And he'll mold them like a potter does clay. Who has declared from the beginning so we may know this? Well, of course, Yahweh is speaking of, from the beginning, he's speaking of the word Genesis. And of course, that work is prophesied right there in Genesis 49. And the first verse of that says, this is going to take place in the last days. And then in verse 10, he starts speaking, and we've covered this in the sermons, and you can get these sermons, by the way, they're on disc. Also, we're putting them on the air for all the world to see. But verse 10 of Genesis 49 shows the last days and what is going to take place in Yahweh's work, and then what's going to take place of the powers that come from this 12 tribes that have taken over the whole world. Get it in your mind that the great powers, the world-ruling kingdoms, people seem to think because one person one kingdom. Here's you have a kingdom. Well, another kingdom rises up with a stronger leader, and he takes over. They didn't destroy all of those people. In fact, they took them into their kingdom, and they lived on. Sometimes they would kill the kings, or if they wouldn't submit after a certain length of time, they would kill them or put out their eyes or something like that, where they couldn't work among the people anymore. But they just added this kingdom to their kingdom. And then the third one did the same thing, and the fourth one did the same thing. And that's what we see today, but we see it scattered throughout the world, the teaching of this scattered throughout the world, and the government of it taken throughout the world. Well, that was now, as I said, my brother. This is who he was speaking of here. And you will see him mentioned in several other places and his name given also in several other places. And then in Isaiah 41:2, we see the Savior. Then if you look on down to verse 8, you will see two more people, two others mentioned here. And I say this others because Daniel saw the same two others. He was given it, and Daniel showed you the time period for these two people right here that he shows. The two others that Daniel saw is the two others that he shows right here, right in front of your face, but you didn't see it because you had your mind set on what somebody had told you from a Christian church, that this was Jacob, who Yahweh surnamed Israel. No, he's dead. He's been dead for quite some time now. And the 12 tribes that came from him, that many of them are dead. Many of them are alive right now and ruling the world. But get it in your mind that he names two people and two works here in this chapter. In fact, he names my brother, then he names me also here. But these are works. They're not just people. They are people that Yahweh uses to start a work. But the work then, Yahweh shows, what work will succeed and go on to doing what we will see next here. Well, verse 8 now. I am Yahweh. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. Do you know why that the gods don't proclaim that they can give eternal life? Because they can't. And Yahweh will not allow it because it would be deceiving you to the utmost. Now, they claim what Satan, the only thing that Satan can claim is that Yahweh made you with an immortal soul because Yahweh created you. Yahweh says he created mankind. You belong to Yahweh until you sell yourself to Satan by follow or service, by service. By your service, you belong to whom you obey. So if you don't choose to serve Yahweh, then you belong to Satan. That's what 1 John 3 shows also, 3, 7, and 8. But here Yahweh says, I won't give my glory to anyone, not to gods or graven images. 41. Go back to 41, verse 8. Now, he shows you Yahshua in the second verse, and then here he names two others in verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant. Now, we put are, that's been added. If you just mark that out, it'll help you to understand a little bit easier. Sometimes these conjunctions help, and sometimes they hinder you from understanding what the Yahweh actually wants you to see here. But you, Yisrael, my servant, you, Yisrael, my servant. Get that in your mind. The servant. Who is the servant? This is what scholars have struggled over for years to find out who the servant is. Well, notice his name is Yisrael. It's not the same Yisrael that started as Jacob, that Yahweh named Israel, that had 12 sons, that come from him came forth 12 sons and 12 tribes. No, the future We're in the future now of those 12 tribes. We're not back here when they were living and dying. And here is two people that he gives their names. Yahweh himself gives their names to them. And then he shows later exactly how he did it and how the names that he gave them was actually he inspired these men, inspired events and so forth to take place to bring about their name. So we look for a person named Yisrael, and that's the servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. There's another sermon that's probably 2 hours to understand this right here, but I'll get to it. It means Oklahoma, but I will get to it later on in the series. And called you from the furthest parts of it. Furthest parts of it? We'll start going around the earth and see if you can find the furthest part of it. It doesn't make sense the way it's written now, but it makes sense when you understand what will be shown to you in a few weeks, maybe, down the line, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your father. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand of my righteousness is mentioned in verse 2 of this chapter. That's the righteous man that he raised from the dead, who now, in fulfillment of the prophecy in Psalm, says he sits at the right hand of Yahweh. Yahweh said to my ruler, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Turn them to serving you, to make you their footstool. Well, the man is there sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, and he shows that man sitting at the right hand of Yahweh is guiding this work right here. Yisrael and Jacob were guided by that man as high priest over a work there. You see that now? Praise Yahweh. Behold, all those who were incensed, hostile against you, will be ashamed and confounded. They will be as nothing. They who strive with you will perish. Verse 12, you will search for them, but will not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, will be as nothing and as a thing of nothing. Verse 13, now go back and look at verse 8 again, and then notice verse 13 now. For I, Yahweh, your father, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Speaking to a servant called Yisrael that proceeds on after the first brother is dead. Now these two, if you would turn over to Daniel now, these two others right here that Yahshua is named with Yahshua, if you'll turn over to Daniel 12, and Daniel gives us a time period for these two people. And Daniel is seeing all of these things come to pass concerning the people, Daniel's people, as he was speaking of, the ones Daniel was taken with. Daniel was a righteous man, but he was taken captive by a kingdom of Hebrews, by the way. They were Hebrews, and they took him captive along with several others, and they took him to Babylon to teach them literature that is being taught in the Catholic Church today, but no one understands that except us that have been explained to where we know now that Yahweh is guiding these 12 tribes to fulfill his plan. Well, here in Daniel 12 now, we see in verse 1, we see at that time Micaiah will stand up. That's mistranslated, but I won't dwell on that. A great ruler who stands for the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to the same time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who will be found written in the book. If you will turn over to, how can we tie this in? Turn over to Revelations, Revelations 20. And we see here a judgment, a great white throne judgment that is set forth here. And first the ones who were called are called in, and then after that the dead are raised and they're given a judgment of 100 years. It doesn't take place instantly or in one day, but it takes, they're allowed to live and allowed to train and work and have their minds open to understanding. And here we see the judgment set in 11. I saw the great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled, and there was found no place for them. That's a little bit mistranslated, but I've got it corrected in other places. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead, verse 13, and every man, the last part of 13, every man according to his works were judged. Death and Sheol was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you turn over to chapter 22, you will see here the ones written in chapter 22, verse 14, the ones written in the book of life are those who keep the laws of Yahweh. Those who keep the laws of Yahweh, blessed are those who keep the laws, that they might have right to the tree of life. Another chapter and verse in Revelation said, those who keep the commandments, which should have been translated the laws, and have the testimony of the Savior, the testimony of Yahshua, the Savior. Well, back to Daniel now in verse 12. One more scripture. Let's hold your place in Daniel and look to Matthew 24, because the Savior himself gives this time period also. Matthew 24, remember, it's a time of trouble, such as was not since there was a nation to that same time, a time of trouble. There can't be two times of trouble and each one be the greatest. So we know that this is speaking of the same time of trouble. In Matthew 24, or Matthew, if you have a King James Version, Matthew 24, and here's the same time of trouble he's speaking of, verse 21, and then will be a great, great tribulation such as not come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time, known or ever will be again. And if you look on over to verse 34, truly I say to you, that generation will not pass. So he's speaking here of the last generation for this time of trouble that marks the time period for these two others that Isaiah showed in Isaiah 41, chapter verses 8 through 13. Two other people, and their name, Israel and Jacob. Israel and Jacob. Well, here now Daniel is speaking of this time period, and he shows the resurrection that we just saw in Revelations 20. The resurrection of the dead is shown in Daniel 12, 2. Some to everlasting life, he says, and some to shame and contempt. So you'll see that these are being judged, the same judgment. The judgment that we see in Revelations 20 is shown here by Daniel. Those who are wise will shine as the brightness of the heavens. You're going to, you may not know it, but But that's what's taking place right now, brethren. And even our children, which is a promise from Yahweh in Yael 2 that we'll read later, but they are shining as in knowledge and understanding and bringing forth the way to peace and joy and love throughout the nations right now. Praise Yahweh. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. This is verse 4, Daniel 12, verse 4. Seal the book to the time of the end. So we see that this is now the time of the end that Daniel was speaking of in verse 1. Matithya was speaking of in Matithya 24, 21, and 34. That's Matithya 24, 20, verse 21, and 34. It's the time of the end. And Daniel is showing the time of the end here. And you know why you couldn't understand this before? I'm speaking to all the scholars out there in the world that are wanting to understand these prophecies. They were closed and sealed by Yahweh himself. So there's no way you could have understood it until Yahweh established his house in the last days, which he said he did, to bring the message. And he says, he names two people, and I'll give you their names again in a minute. In another chapter, he names two people and says, let them tell you. So he's saying to you, praise Yahweh, he's saying to you and all the world, let them tell you. Pay attention to what I'm bringing, but you're going to have to study closely. This is not understood easily. Okay, he says, close the books till the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. That is, both the knowledge of Yahweh to his house, and he shows the knowledge will be increased to the world, worldly knowledge, which will bring the world down, bring it to destruction. As we see on all the world news, we see sickness increasing. We see the food getting less valuable, that is in content, the vitamins and minerals. Don't forget your sorghum, your molasses, your blackstrap molasses. 3 times a day in 4 to 6 ounces of hot water, 1 teaspoon. You'll be surprised what that will do for you. Do it. Just do it. Okay, then Daniel, after this was closed and sealed, then Daniel looked and said, behold, there stood two others. Well, this is the same thing. You see, hold your place there. Go back to Isaiah 41. Two others. He sees Yeshua right here raised from the dead. Isaiah did. That occurred at the great time period when we go from before the death, before the common era, to after the common era. And the things that took place there, if you want to believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference, but I can tell you one thing. History shows this man changed the world by the acts that took place on that date. He changed the whole world and everything that went with it. Well, this man raised from the dead, and you know when that took place. And then Isaiah shows you in verse 8, two others, and gives you the names here. Well, Daniel, he sees the same thing. And I, Daniel, looked, verse 5, Daniel 12, verse 5, I looked, and behold, there stood two others. Now, this was not two different people other than the ones that Isaiah saw. This was the first time Daniel saw this, and he was seeing all these prophecies here of these great kingdoms that kept getting greater, and one overtaking the other, and another one overtaking the other one. And then this fourth one takes the temple. And destroys the temple and takes all the artifacts to Rome. Well, this should show you something. And I know the scholars out there, they know these things because I read your writings and I see that bits and pieces of these things you understand. Verse 5, I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. Now, if you remember, he shows, and we brought this out, he said Israel left the house of Jacob because he brought back customs from the east. You know which direction the east is. And what is the east? The east is Jerusalem, where the Savior died. That's what, where he's also raised from the dead. So he brought back customs from the east. That's exactly the reason the two were separated, as Daniel sees here. And one said to the man clothed in linen, so there's only one of them clothed in linen here. One clothed in linen, who on that future day, this is translated properly, according to, if you get a book of Yahweh, you'll see the footnotes, and you can go right to the source where the authorities tell you that this was a future day, is teaching how long will it be. They asked a man clothed in linen on a future day, how long will it be? How many of you have asked me how long it will be? The wonders, these wonders. Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and vowed by him who lives forever, that it will be for a time and times and half a time. Now this then clues you in to another prophecy in Revelations 11, which we won't cover right now, but that is the two witnesses that shows this time period and ties it in with those same two brothers who Yahweh says, these are my witnesses. When Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, pouring out his strength. If you remember Malachiah, he says, this is the strength of Yahweh, named Eliyah. That's what the word Eliyah means, the strength of Yahweh, the laws and the prophets. Then the Savior himself says, if you will accept it, this is the Eliyah who would come, the laws and the prophets who would come. Yahweh says, let them tell them. Let those two brothers tell them. Tell them. We'll see just a minute who he says tell it to then. All these things will be finished. All these things. Once this takes place, all these things will be finished. So we're in the last generation here of two others that he is seeing, but he doesn't understand. So I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my ruler, what will be the end of these things? But he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed until the time of the end. So he allowed him to see the two others in a time period called the time of the end. Many will be purified, made white, and tried, tested, that is, judged. That's what you're being tried. You right now are being tried and tested for work in Yahweh's kingdom. And you're allowing Yahweh to sanctify you, as is shown in Exodus 13:31. Yahweh sanctifies you, sets you apart for this work. You're being tried and tested, but the wicked will do wickedly and none of the wicked will understand. So here's another clue to understanding. Wickedness is breaking Yahweh's laws, as shown in 1 John 3:4, 7, and 8. So Acts 3:19, speaking of the Savior, that one that was raised from the dead, and showing when he was killed, murdered. And then he shows in verse 19, Acts 3:19, he says, therefore repent and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out by this man's death and blood. And then you will have understanding. You will have turned from your wickedness. then, and then Yahweh will have contact with you and can open your mind to understanding. But hidden sins will keep you cut off from Yahweh. So repentance and words doesn't matter. You're going to have to act on it. As Jacob said, faith without works is dead. O vain man, know this, that faith without works is dead. Well, that's what Daniel was speaking of here when he said, none of the wicked will understand. If you don't believe that's true, how did he hide this prophecy for all these years? And you scholars have searched the books for all these many years and couldn't decide who this servant of Yahweh was. How did he hide it from you? Well, I'm going to reveal it to you, and you'll know that it's it when you see it. Praise Yahweh. Now look on down from the time. Well, he gives a time of waiting here and a figure that no one has figured out to this point. Now let's go back to, this is Daniel 12. Now let's go back to Isaiah again. And we see here Isaiah 41. We got to this Isaiah 41 too. It shows the Savior and it shows the work. So does Genesis. Genesis 49 shows the 12 tribes in the last days and the work the Savior would be performing in verse 10. Last days is shown in verse 1, and then works that the Savior is performing in this last time period is connected to a certain person. Well, what notice here, he gives the nations. He gives the nations here. Now, the last days, Yeshua's work, last days, Yeshua's work, and his donkeys. This is in Genesis 49, 1, and then verse 10 shows the donkeys. And of course, I've been through that already and him fulfilling all of that. Now, if you go to Isaiah 1, you will see these 12 tribes that Isaiah actually starts with here. And knowing, of course, Isaiah knew that they would take over the world, that the world was given to them, they'd take it over, become many nations, and this is what they would bring the world to. In Isaiah 1, notice verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem. In the days of Uzziah, he gives this, let's go on here. Hear, O heavens, if that should bring your attention to Deuteronomy 30, where Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, starting with about verse 15, he says, he's proving this to heaven and earth. And he says, he's calling your attention to what he's proving among the 12 tribes, of course, that he has set before them. Life and righteousness or death and destruction, whichever one they choose. And then he tells them, you must choose life. You must choose to do what I say. Let me sanctify you if you want life. Otherwise, those who sanctify themselves, which the whole world is doing at this time, they will all be consumed together, Yahweh says. Be consumed. Well, he says, hear, O heavens, now, and give ear, O earth. Same thing Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 says. Yahweh has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Speaking of Yada and Jerusalem, but speaking of the whole 12 tribes. Except for the ones he called out, gave special commission. He called the elect. He gave them special commission to warn the nations. The same ones were persecuted by these people that he's speaking to here. He says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows the owner's crib, that is the house of Yahweh. The donkeys know this. They know the house of Yahweh. He's promised to give that information to them. Whether they stay in it or not, they know it. Yes. And you know, everyone who leaves the house of Yahweh, they make the statement, oh, I know that Israel is the last day's witness. I know that. You know, you couldn't be mistaken about that. And I believe this is the true work of Yahweh. They know that. Well, because Yahweh says they're going to know it. If they're called, they become one of the donkeys. But if they don't stay, they don't have to stay. They can break their tie and go running, trotting down the road, chasing after whatever. But they know the crib. They know the house of Yahweh. But the land of Israel, the whole house of Israel, does not know. My people do not consider. They don't even consider this. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backwards. Why would you be stricken, he says, anymore? Why would you revolt more and more? He's saying, you are bringing this upon yourselves. They fought against each other. They separated from Yahweh, and then they started fighting against each other, and it's been depression ever since. They gain riches. They gain riches, but they don't enjoy it. Their total lives are spent on gaining the world, but never enjoying what they gain. There's no joy in it, in other words. And Yahweh shows this. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness. That is, no understanding in it, but wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate, and your cities are burned with fire. They did it themselves, fighting against each other. Read the book of Kings, and you'll see what the kings of the east and how they are doing, how they spread and still doing. Strangers, this doesn't mean another race. It's strangers to the covenant, as the book that was written to the Hebrew people by a Hebrew named Saul, or Shaul, as his name was, said, strangers to the covenant. When you cut yourself off from Yahweh, you become a stranger to the covenant of Yahweh. A disbeliever, in other words. Not another race of people. Makes no difference. There. Black, white, green, yellow, whatever. Strangers devour your land. That is, those who will not recognize Yahweh's laws, they're the ones that's making your land desolate, as if it were overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left like a sukkah in the vineyard, like, you know, the people who don't take down their sukkahs. It starts looking like that in a little while, like it's been deserted. As a hut in a garden of cucumbers, like a besieged city, if Yahweh of hosts had not left us, speaking of Judah and Jerusalem now, left a small remnant in Yada and Jerusalem, a small remnant, we would have been like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of, notice what he says, you rulers of Sodom. Here, you've become like Sodom. Well, that's what Jeremiah said too. That's what the authorities say today when they are filing charges on the priest in the Vatican. Sodom and Gomorrah, get the picture. Yes, that's what they do. Listen to the law of our father. Yes, these are Hebrews he's speaking to, but they've gone the way of Sodom, or sodomy, and Gomorrah, which also practiced sodomy. Look on down to verse 13. Do not bring any more vain oblations. Your incense is abominable to me. the new moons and the Sabbaths, your calling of assemblies. I cannot endure. Even the solemn meetings are iniquity. They're filled with iniquity. You have solemn meetings keeping the feast of Yahweh, but you bring in your everything that is unlawful to Yahweh. Adultery, fornication, Yahweh says. You fill the campgrounds with your adultery and fornication, with your sodomy and so forth. So when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. That's Isaiah 59 says you cut yourself off from Yahweh when you do that. Yes, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. And your hands are filled with blood because your hands are filled with blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. None of the evil, remember, will understand. Learn to do righteousness. Righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's law. Seek judgment. That is Yahweh's judgment. Remember, one of the things in Isaiah that showed with the Savior was that he would bring judgment to the nation. Well, he would bring judgment, not Yahshua himself. It is Yahshua himself, but he guides another person to do that chore in the last days as he sits at the right hand of Yahweh. We'll see that more plainly in just a little bit. Learn to do righteousness, seek judgment. Now remember that judgment, because Yahweh said, these are my statutes, my judgments, that you must teach to your children diligently. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. Learn to do righteousness, seek judgment, seek Yahweh's judgments, not your own. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. We can change all of that. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. The sword. The thing that was shown to Constantine. Now, that remember this, because he was promising this. He was prophesying this. This sword turned upside down with the handle going crossway. This is what Constantine saw in the clouds, and he says, by this conquer. That's what Constantine carried, a sword. A sword, and he went out killing on crusades. And he changed the Holy Scripture. A Hebrew man called Constantine. Devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. At one time, it was full of what judgment and righteousness lodged in it. But now only murderers. He's speaking of Yada and Jerusalem. Your silver has become gross. It's all dirty money. It's filthy. It's like Yada sowed back to the priest. Verse 23, your princes are rebellious and the companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts. Everyone loves gifts. Beware of him who brings gifts this time of the year, brethren. Any time of the year, really, but stay away from them. Said, oh, let me see you next August sometime, Daddy. Uncle Joe, whatever. Brother Pete. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. They do not judge the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come to them. Look on down to verse 26. And I will restore your judges, soon, as it was at the first. That is, if you will repent, and your counselors, as it was at the beginning. Notice counselors are going to be restored. Well, they are. They're counselors in the house of Yahweh. That's in the last days I will establish my house. You'll see that in a minute. Your judges will be restored. Your counselors will be restored. They're only helpful if you use them. Like the peaceful solution, the only way you can keep it from working is to ignore it. Afterwards, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Yes, all of this is going to take place through you, brethren, the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, verse 28, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners, notice, will be together. They who forsake Yahweh will be consumed. Now, look on down to verse 31. And the strong will be like tow, and his work as a spark. His work, what he is doing. Remember, Revelations 17 said they still won't repent after a third of them are dead over that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. They will continue in this work of their own hands until nuclear war has wiped out 4/5 of the earth's population. That's all in the time period of the prophecy of these two people Yahweh calls witnesses that established, Yahweh used to establish his house in the last day. And they will burn, notice they will both burn together. They will both burn together. The one that does wickedly along with his works, they will burn together. And none will quench this. You can't turn it around. It's on its way. Remember the laws of Moshe, my servant, he said. And remember Isaiah 24, 1 through 6. Now, notice that now in chapter 2. Now, this was chapter 1. He is showing what Yada and Jerusalem had come to. And then he says, you're going to come to this right here where you're going to destroy the world with your works, verse 31, and now Yahweh says, he says, the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow unto it. Well, of course, you see how it's going to come down in chapter 1. Then you see in the last days is prophesied in Genesis 49, verse 1. And the work, the last day's work of Yahshua, which is the rebuilding or reestablishing of the house of Yahweh in chapter 2 of Isaiah. So the work is prophesied in the last days of the 12 tribes in Genesis 49, 1. And then verse 10 shows you the Savior's work along with the donkeys, the workers that do the work. But he's the guider of this and the protector of this work. He's high priest. The high priest is to guide and direct his house. That's what the high priest's commission was. It wasn't a just something to sit on a place and be praised, but it was a work that Yahweh set to guide his house into righteousness. And that's what Yahshua, he first set the example, the perfect example, and now he's guiding his house, and Yahweh says he's doing a superfine job of it, guiding his house. And it says they have their counselors, they have their judges restored. That's a promise that's been fulfilled in this house that's reestablished. And we will take up here with this house that's reestablished now next week. Don't forget to be on time. Get your meals on time next week before 9 o'clock so you can get in here and sit down. And they can too. The workers can too. And then we're going to have this special film, Yahweh willing, showing what the world is wanting you to eat. Cheap food, but how to grow food really cheaply and abundance of it. They're going to show you this. But they too know what we have been bringing you for years. They're just now finding out. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.